Man, who was here Wednesday night? It was quite the time. And I just reiterate. Say that three times fast. No, don't actually, unless you want to. You can. Reiterate some of the things that were said Wednesday night, because without the Holy Spirit's power, without God living in us, we've got no more chance of making this work than any other generation that's ever lived. And you know what? There's been a lot of failure, and we can point a lot of failure out. And I don't mean to point out where other people have failed. I just mean to point out where Jesus has succeeded. And if we keep our focus on the author and the finisher of our faith, guess what? We make it to where he has us to go. If we get distracted with ourselves, if we get distracted with other people, if we get distracted with whatever the greatest, latest tragedy is, it's all sad, it's all heartbreaking, it's all whatever. But you know, all you can do is prepare your heart, prepare practically, whatever you need to do. I thank God that we still have the right and privilege to bear arms in this country. If you're fearful, consider getting training on how to defend yourself, how to protect you. The resources are all there. Don't live in fear by choice when we have a country where you, the citizen, are allowed to protect yourself, allowed to stand for your faith, for what you believe, and hopefully be able to defend someone next to you, someone that's around you, because it's not going to get prettier. Jesus promised us that, hey, there's going to be people that are going to come a day when people are going to think they're doing God a service by killing you. That's what he said to them. They're going to think that they're doing God's service by killing you. And if we think prophecy's not real, if we think that God doesn't know the end from the beginning, just need to read the word and you'll find out that everything that's going around us is not surprising God. He's not suddenly shaken on his throne, but he's given us a word and a path to follow. And I just encourage you, don't get into fear. Don't get into ranting and raving about everything and why can't somebody fix it. We're still citizens of the greatest country on the planet and we still have the ability to self-government. And that's a great privilege, and it's a great thing that we have to take care of, and we have to believe. I mean, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of them is self-control. We all love to control somebody else. We'd love to control our leaders. We'd love to get them to make decisions that we want them to make. We can't control them. We can control ourselves by the grace that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I just encourage you this morning, don't allow everything that's going on around us in this world, in this country, to distract you from the fact that you've been given government over one person, yourself. And if we all do our jobs and we exercise that by the whole, not in your own ability to grit your teeth and try to be a good person, but in your ability to surrender to the Holy Spirit, like what we did on Wednesday night here, where the Holy Spirit was just so strong and so rich, some people just began to speak in languages that didn't know what it was, because his presence was just, the love of Christ compels us to begin to do things that we wouldn't do in our own strength. In that same way, let's live lives that are above and beyond, not because of our own ability, but because of his ability through us. We can love some pretty unlovable people because of him, Christ, living on the inside of us. And so, how to paraphrase this? We're going to leave time at the end of this service for communion, which is part of Passover, the Feast of Passover that the Jewish people celebrated, and that's when Jesus was sacrificed on Good Friday. That was the Passover evening. That was a Friday evening that he was hung on a cross for our sins, for the sins of an entire planet. And I just want to encourage you that there was a finished work that Jesus did on the cross. That's the gospel of Jesus, that he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, what we were never going to be able to do for ourselves. He did it, and he did it completely. He did it thoroughly, and he didn't leave anybody out. When he hung there and said it was finished, it was because it was finished. It wasn't because he forgot one obscure tribe or one village someplace or one person that was going to be so bad that his sacrifice wasn't going to be ample to cover their sin and to atone for it and to bear the full penalty of that sin. Jesus and his cross are the most amazing things that have ever happened on this planet. And it's interesting, we're celebrating his birth now. It's a great thing to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, because without the birth, we don't get to the cross. We don't get to the resurrection. We don't get to Pentecost when his Spirit was poured out. It's the beginning, but there's so much of our walk of faith that it's always in a process. Don't ever come to the place in Christianity and your faith walk where you feel like, oh, I've arrived. Now I'm just going to keep showing up on Sunday mornings and give the same amount and do this ritual, because that's where buildings go empty, folks. Yeah. That's where visions die, when you think that there's a way that you could ever possibly grow into the fullness and the measure of the stature of Christ short of eternity. There's a seed that we've been born of. There's an incorruptible seed that's in us. The full potential of everything that is Jesus is in us by his Spirit. But don't ever think that there's not more room for us to press towards the mark, to draw near to God so that he draws near to us, to continue to grow and to be built up into the church he has for us to be. You know, there's a mentality that's crept in, and this isn't my message. We'll get there in a second, but I'm just going with where I feel the Spirit's leading me, because Wednesday night we did that, and it was just so powerful. It was a little shocking, but there's this idea that health in America, maybe the West, I don't know, maybe the world, health is just the absence of being sick. Yeah. Think about this for a minute. We say someone's healthy just because they're not sick. But there's so much more to health than just not being sick. The negative of something doesn't verify the condition of the opposite. We're healthy because of the strength of God on the inside of us. Just because we're not crawling in bed with the flu sick does not mean that God doesn't have more for us. But we'll settle sometimes for just, why, well, I feel like I'm healthy, but are we training? Are we in exercise? Are we in programs that are building us and that are encouraging us and that are taking us beyond just this status quo where everyone seems to just get comfortable and just, what, drift? You don't drift forward. You drift backwards. There's no such thing as forward momentum. It doesn't last very long. There's an intentional pushing forward. There's a training that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. It's interesting to me. We're going to focus this morning on Pentecost because it's the time when Jesus' Spirit came. He sent the Holy Spirit, the third part of God's person. He sent him to infuse and fill and baptize people, literal human beings, no different than us today. They were filled with this Holy Spirit so that they could walk out a life and a path that would be different from anything they were ever going to be able to do in their own strength. And when you realize that that was God's purpose of the birth of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the ascension of Jesus, that it all added up to the time in Pentecost when His Spirit was going to be poured out. Why? So that we would be a people that would walk by His Spirit and would be trained by His Spirit into things that we would have never been able to do on our own. We know that some of the 120 people that were in the upper room, they were just fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were people that had no training in religious studies, they had no spiritual training, they just knew that they were obedient to Jesus' command to go there and to sit and to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And Jesus told them, before He left, it's better that I go. They had followed this Jesus for the best part of their lives, some of these guys. For 3 years they followed Him wherever He went. The crowds disappeared, but they stayed. And they stayed through because Jesus had touched something in their heart. The words He spoke appealed to them in a way that was deeper than just the words that the leaders in the temple were using. And He said, it's better that I go because I'm going to send the Comforter to you. Yeah. What does it mean to be comforted other than that you are in a place of needing comfort? When you're in a place of needing comfort, it means that you're engaged in some way in something that's not comfortable. The Holy Spirit's been given to comfort us through the process of God taking us from where we were to where He wants us to be. That's the essence of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He takes us from where we thought we were fine and takes us to a place of where we now know we're on a path to something that's way beyond what we could have ever figured out in our own. You cannot figure out the path that God has for your life by going to an advisor at the college that you're taking your semesters at. You can't. They can only tell you what they see on the outside. They can't see what's in your heart. They can't see the unique gifts and abilities that God's placed in your spirit by His Holy Spirit. You have to submit to the Lord if you're going to find the path that I'm talking about. And the only way to find it is by faith. The same faith that believes that Jesus on the cross was enough to atone for your sin and to take His righteousness and make it yours. And to take your sinfulness and to make it His. That's what happened on the cross. Bible says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And He didn't just hang on a tree for a while. He died on the tree, which means He's permanently cursed, according to Jewish tradition. There's no reversal. He took our sin to death. He breathed His last on the cross so that our sin would be fully taken away. But then He went into the grave. And He rose from the grave. And He came and He gave us the Holy Spirit, His very Spirit, to live in us so that the life that we now live by faith in the Son of God, we don't live it by our own ability anymore. We live it according to the One that now lives in us and abides in us, who has taken our sin away and has made all His righteousness our possession. We're going to look at some of the scriptures, what I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you an overview of what we're going to just discuss this morning, because Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And you know what? Comfort is king. In this culture, in the West especially, comfort is king. You take away someone's comfort, they're not coming back. If someone's uncomfortable at a restaurant, if they're not comfortable in a taxi, in an airport, whatever it is, at airlines, whatever makes them uncomfortable, they're not going back. If you can make someone comfortable, you'll guarantee their repeat patronage of your business. Comfort rules. Comfort is king. And Jesus doesn't offer us comfort. He promised them, guys, you follow me, tribulation is coming. They persecuted me. They're going to do the same for my students. He promised them in John 16, you will have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. Jesus isn't promising us a place of comfort to our natural senses. He's promising us a place of training and equipping so that we can go by His Spirit to places that this world needs us to go. He doesn't have a B plan. We're it. We're not God's B plan. We are His A plan. If Jesus on the planet was the answer for planet Earth, He would have stayed and wrapped it up Himself. He's God. He knows how to get through to what He needs to accomplish on this planet. He created it. He created the people of it. And He created the animals and everything that goes with it. He knows what was needed. And it wasn't Him walking around on the earth. He came and He did something that He knew was the answer. He told Peter that on this rock I'll establish my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. What is a church? It's a force, a living, breathing organism on the planet of love in human bodies that cannot be stopped. The gates of hell can't stop us. You have to get a revelation of this. That's why buildings go empty, because people think that somehow someone else is going to do something that only we can do. We're the only ones that can teach our children. We're the only ones that can make 1,000 meals for people that have no idea who we even are and knock on their door and give it to them with a smile and a prayer. God is on the move, and I pray that you can feel it, because there's no backup plan to this. Amen. He said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the uttermost ends of the earth, and then the end will come. That's right. It's on us. We are literally in process of fulfilling the greatest event in human and planetary history. Of the universe. The final return of Jesus Christ. But if we settle for a sense of what's comfortable, if we settle for a sense of comfort, we'll not have the comforter. Amen. You can have a sense of things and not have the actual thing. You can have a sense of family and not have any family. The beautiful thing about this church is because we're so strong on this point. We're God's kids. Amen. You can't change it. You can try to wish it away. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You can't change it. If He's our Heavenly Father, we're all His kids. All of us. All. Like it or not. I'm not trying to... I'm going to do like my wife. I'm just going to look up at this... I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody. It's really nobody that's in this room that needs to hear this. We're family. We don't just have a sense of being like family. He's our dad. We're his sons and daughters. We're brothers and sisters. When Jesus rose from the dead, He saw Mary and Martha. He said, go tell my disciples, I'm ascending. I still have to go to my Father and their Father, to my God and their God. What does that mean? He said that the same dad I've got is the dad you have now. Amen. The empty tomb did so much. We come to church and we think that it's just another time to fill on a Sunday morning so that we can maybe feel better about ourselves, feel like life's not so bad, or focus on whatever it is that you come for. Keep coming. But there's so much more. There's a new identity that Jesus has paid for you, that if you don't lay hold of it by faith, you miss your purpose. And then you tried church and it didn't work, or I tried being a Christian and it didn't work. You've not surrendered to Christ, the Messiah. Because when you surrender to Him, He makes all things work together for good for those that love Him. Hallelujah. Folks, I get fired up about this stuff because I talk to the people. Yeah. I read what they write on Facebook. Oh, they tried that. That's just this and that's just that. You've not surrendered to the Messiah. Amen. You've not tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Because once you do, and you're in an atmosphere where His love just invades you, and you're full of the Spirit, and you're full of confidence and boldness, there's no going back. You cannot pretend that that didn't happen. And that's what we're about. We're about not just being a sense of something, but to actually be the very children of God. To allow the reality that that's who God sees us to become our view of ourselves. He's going to talk about some feasts, but we're trying to just jump over that. We talked about Passover because we're going to do communion today. Passover is when Jesus took care of your sin. It's even simpler. Jesus took care of your sin. Religion sometimes teaches us that we have to try to take care of the stuff that's in us that's not right. You can't. That's right. You can't do it. If you did it, then Jesus died in vain. And we know that's not true. Jesus died because it was necessary for the justice of heaven to be appeased, for the holiness of God to find a perfect sinless sacrifice. Jesus had to die in our place. And He took care of it. The beautiful thing is that there's a day coming when Jesus is physically, literally coming back to planet Earth. It's called the second coming. He is. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and the only way you can know that's by faith. The only way you can know that is to read the promises of God and believe them by faith. The only way you can be saved from your sin is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus on the cross, according to God's word, was all that was needed for your sin to be paid for and for His righteousness to become yours. Yeah. It's the only thing you have. You have to believe it. You weren't there 2,000 years ago. You're not in the future yet. We're here in 2015 or wherever we are. We know Jesus is coming back only by faith. But I'm going to talk about this bit in the middle called Pentecost, called the now part of walking out this Christian walk of faith. Because people get afraid, as Marissa shared, we're afraid of this Holy Spirit. What does that mean when God comes and lives inside of a human body? What does that look like? Well, we have Acts to look at what it looks like. So there's no mystery. There's no nothing. There's not as much mystery as people make it out to be. People have seen a lot of fake stuff. They've seen a lot of forced stuff. They've seen people trying to act a certain way to prove they have something that they have no clue what they're even talking about or doing. Amen. And people said, I don't want any of that. Of course you don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. I want Jesus and I want His Holy Spirit. Because in His Spirit is the power to live according to what He tells us to do. There's no other place we're going to find that strength other than Him. You can't be perfect unless the perfect Spirit of God's living in you so He can live out your life in through you. Those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. If we're led by the flesh, we just have the same sense as everybody else has, and we're trying to fix the same problems with the same mind that everybody else. And look what great job everybody's doing. They can't figure it out with this natural gray matter. It's a walk of faith by the Spirit that we have to tap into. We have to see a horizon that goes way beyond the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. There's a horizon that goes right out through space, through the universe and outside of it. The Bible says God holds the whole universe in the, together by Himself, by His own word, by in His hand. It's pretty big. We're tapping into some of the outer edges, talking about 15, 16 plus billion years for light to travel from the outer side to where we are. It's a long time. A long time. God exists outside of even that. And yet He's near enough to hear every whisper that you whisper to Him. He's there. You know you've prayed those prayers and you didn't think anybody was listening and all of a sudden something changed and you like, whoa, you heard me, God. How does He do that? He exists in a dimension that's outside of what this gray matter is ever going to grasp. We can only know by faith that the Holy Spirit is good, that He desires to live inside of us because He desires our good. We can only trust Jesus' words when He said, it's better that I go because I will send the Comforter to you. And He will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that Jesus would send, He's not just giving us a sense of peace or of comfort. He's actually infusing us with Himself, who is the Prince of Peace, who is the King of Kings, who is the Righteous One. He's not giving us the form of Himself. The Holy Spirit is not the form or the mist of God. It's God the Holy Spirit. He's no less powerful than Jesus Christ. He's no less powerful than God the Father. He has every access. He is God. And this fear that creeps in, and this fear and faith are always at opposites with your life. Why do you think you're afraid? Because if you have faith to step towards Him, that's where it's going to change. That's where you now start walking out and you go to work and the people that used to just get under your skin and you just felt stress rising up in you, all of a sudden you see through it and you realize that was just a facade. This person's hurting. They don't know this Comforter that I found that now lives in me. They don't know who He is. How are they supposed to have any comfort? Colossians 2, 13 through 14 just says this. I'll just read some scriptures because I've been yapping for a long time without even giving you one reference. So here's some scriptures to just catch us up to speed. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In His body, He took all that we deserved and He let it hang on Him. so that when he was nailed to the cross, it was nailed to the cross with him. It's explicit. It's perfectly clear. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Corinthians 15:20, the verse just... You can't exclude yourself from this.
That's right. Amen.
The reason churches go empty is because people exclude themselves from what their role is, and they let it fall to the people up here or the people on TV or somebody else.
Yes.
And you miss that the Holy Spirit wants to live in you.
Yes.
It makes no difference how great I preach. It makes no difference. The only... It doesn't matter.
That's right.
You have to understand it's you. God loves you. He doesn't love you through me or through anybody else. He can't only get to you because of your favorite speaker or author or whatever. He wants to have fellowship with you by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The same one that infused 120 people on Pentecost is the same Spirit that still resides and lives in this air that's just waiting for us to just embrace him and take him in. It's by faith that you have to do it. It's no different thing. But now Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits means that the first is something that comes first. It means there's others behind. Revelation says the same thing. So when we look at the word Pentecost, it means, Penta means 50. Pentecost happens 7 weeks after Passover. It was a Jewish feast. They were gathered. We read in Acts that they were gathered because of this feast. It was one of the feasts where Jewish people came to Jerusalem. They had to come to the place where God had set up for them to worship together and to meet together. And they were gathered there for that purpose. And it commemorates 50 days or 7 weeks from the time when they walked through the Red Sea, when God delivered them from Egypt, the same way that Jesus at Passover delivered us from the place of sin, delivered us from the bondage of sin and took us through, and the Red Sea came back and drowned the Pharaoh's men in that body of water so that they were truly free. Not only were they on the other side of the water that kept them bound, but their enemies were destroyed in it in the process. And Jesus did the same thing. Says that he led captivity captive in triumph through the courts of heaven when he rose from the dead because he took the keys of hell and the grave. And we realize that Jesus did now, and 50 days after what Jesus did when he rose, we now have the Feast of Pentecost, which is when the Jewish people are there celebrating when Moses went up on the mountain. 50 days after the Red Sea experience, he went up to receive the written commandments of God.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments on stone, written externally, so Moses could bring them down and read them to the people. But I want you to look at something in Jeremiah 31:33. It says this: "But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." Those of you who don't know, this is the Old Testament. This is hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. "This is the covenant I will make, future, with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." What God did through Pentecost, the same way that they were celebrating when God gave the law to Moses, when a supernatural spiritual being that was fire and smoke met with man and with his own finger wrote in the stone the commandments that were essential to being able to live on this planet without making a mess. He gave them to man to bring, and he prophesied ahead of time that there was a day coming when he was going to not write them on stone anymore. And it happens on the very same day that they were there celebrating the written law on stone, that he now comes by his Spirit and he writes supernaturally his law and his word in their minds and in their hearts. "And I will be their God, and they will be my people." Pentecost is so much more than just the mysterious thing that people have allowed it by fear to become. It's the only thing that keeps us walking now in the strength and power of Jesus Christ. Anything less than that is not the church of Jesus Christ. It's not. It's a human attempt to look like Jesus rather than become Christ in human vessels. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It goes both ways. We are in him. He is in us. This thing is about a union of God in human flesh again. This is a new seed. He doesn't breathe into us breath, this new creation. He gives us his seed. God met with Mary and a new DNA strain was introduced to planet Earth that had never existed before. Joseph was not Jesus' dad. I hope you know the Christmas story. Spiritual seed met with the seed of a woman And a whole new strain was unleashed on this planet. Spiritual people with human bodies. And Pentecost solidifies that. It's the seal of God saying, boom, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when mere men gathered in fear and obedience and humility, whatever they were gathered in the upper room because of, their lives were at stake. They were being hunted. Jesus said, wait there. And so they did in humility and just waiting, however long they waited, until the time was fully come. They were gathered in one accord, and all of a sudden, their humble gathering of unity brought from heaven the very presence and spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who then filled them and unleashed them on the streets. The tongues that were used to be used to confuse in Genesis, when in pride they were building this monument trying to reach God on their own, and he confused their languages so they couldn't communicate. I know a lot of you don't have a lot of Bible history. That's okay. I'll try to keep it as basic as I can. But there was a time when everyone spoke the same language and they were building this thing, and God confused the tongues at the Tower of Babel. And all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, the curse is broken and reversed and changed. All of a sudden they spoke in all the tongues, and everyone in the city that had gathered from all over the world said, we hear them all speaking of the goodness of God, the wonderful works of God in our own language. Our ears hear them. Whatever sound they're making, we can understand what they're saying. God reversed the curse of confusion. There's no confusion in the Holy Spirit. If you've seen something that left you confused, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It makes me angry. People have been pushed. People have been told to do things. They've been told to manufacture something that wasn't genuine. It wasn't real. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. That causes fear in people. People are afraid of this person who is this Holy Spirit. You got to overcome your fear. Because you can't walk where we have to go without His Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about something that you're mustering because you want to look like everybody else. Or you want to sound like everybody else. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that causes you to go to work and you feel like, wow, I used to hate this person. Now I feel sorry for him. What is going on? You can't do that in your own. That's the greatest miracle that ever happens when you start to feel the heart of Jesus inside you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They knew how to follow Jesus when he walked on the earth. They could see him. So following Jesus meant putting your left foot in front of your right foot and walking wherever he walked. Paul's saying, he's gone now. We can't follow Jesus according to the flesh anymore. We can't. How do we follow him? We follow him from within. Christ in us now leads and directs us. He's the one that draws us to the people that need to hear the message of his love for them. It's not a physical thing anymore. It has physical results, but it starts within you. It starts in the heart of a person who believes and surrenders by faith to the only Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that has the power to cause you to walk in victory from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Nobody else can do it. New identity was unveiled to the public that day. Let me tell you something. If you don't know who you truly are, you're going to act confused. You're going to act... One of the greatest problems we have now is bipolar, all this stuff. Why? People don't know who they are. Multipolar, is that even a word? Some people are more than bipolar. They're all up, we're all over the place sometimes. If you don't know who you are, if you don't even know that you were created in God's image, how in the world are you going to live an honorable, respectful life towards yourself and towards others? If you're just a pile of cells that randomly came together over enough billions of years, what's the point of it? Hoping that this is the right way? Of course people are confused. Of course people don't think there's a reason for living. Of course suicide is at an epidemic rate. Drug overdoses now with heroin, it's just unbelievable. People don't know they're valuable. They think it's just an amusement ride. Let's have as much fun as we can before the ride ends. And it's ending in their teen years and in their early 20s before they've ever even tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And it gets under my skin, but it's mostly we have to take responsibility. As the Church of Jesus Christ, what have we shown them over the hundreds and thousands of years? That it said, I need that. I have to have that. Whatever they have, I have to have it. Or do they come in and they find the same bickering, they find the same old... That's what's happened, because we're not living by the Spirit. We're living by our own senses sometimes. We think we're going to figure this life out on our own. And then you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you realize, oh, how many times did Marissa say, it's just so easy. I just can't believe how easy this is. It's actually God doing it through me.
Yeah.
The gospel is so much more than what Jesus did. The gospel is way more than that. It is that. As Pastor Chris was saying, it doesn't end when you walk into salvation. That's just the beginning of seeing that there's a planet out here that if we don't do something, hopefully we can all see by now that the government's not going to do anything to fix it. Hopefully you can at least agree on that. If you can't talk to me, I'll try to help you. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved and we shouldn't vote, and we have to. And if you complain to me and you haven't voted and done your part as a citizen, I won't listen to you. I'll probably rebuke you and tell you, talk to somebody that cares. Because there's a lot of people that complain, and they've been given an authority of a citizen to vote and to express your opinion and to be on Facebook and wherever, making the truth known. That's an absolute gift and privilege that we have. Many nations don't have that. And if you're not exercising that, please don't complain. But having done all of that, folks, if we don't have Jesus, if God does not do something to the mess that we are in, it ain't going to change. I hope you can see that. It's crystal clear. We have to put our faith out for a Holy Spirit that's now. He wants to change your life now. He wants to make you see who you really are now. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached a message of repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. They didn't know how to respond. They cried out. They said they were cut to the heart when he told them, you guys just killed your Messiah. Cried out, what must we do to be saved? He just says, just repent. Repent doesn't mean change your behavior. Let me just set some people free this morning. Repentance has nothing to do with your behavior. Could argue with that in your mind for a minute. I'm going to say it again. Repentance has nothing to do with your behavior. Nothing. If we could have changed our behavior, we could have followed the Ten Commandments. We wouldn't have needed Jesus in the first place. We would have followed them. You follow the Ten Commandments? You ever read them? Man, we're going to get along really good. Everyone's respected. Everyone's loved. Everyone's taken care of. And God is glorified. It's beautiful. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. But we can't attain that in our own strength. You can. Repent is to change this. Your mind. Repentance literally means to see that something's wrong and to turn to what is right. That's what repentance means. So many people, they come to church, they hear a challenging message, and they go home and they try to start changing all their behaviors. And then they fail. And then they say, I tried Christianity, it doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. You didn't repent. You didn't see the cross for what it truly was. You didn't see the love of your Savior in His eyes as He looked and as He bled out His last drop. And as He breathed and He hung there and said, this is for you. Father, forgive even these ones. They just don't know what they're doing. When you see that and you realize that that's the Spirit that He went to heaven to unleash on human beings, that level and capacity to love people is what's inside everyone who's full of the Holy Spirit. That's the mark. That's what I care about seeing in someone's heart. I don't care what you can do, how many graves you can raise up, how much power you have in the Holy Spirit. Can you love an unlovable person? Because when you do that, guess what? Your marriage has changed. Your relationship with your kids changed. The people you're fighting with at work, it changes. And the world takes notice, because you can't manufacture that. Your behavior will change as soon as you see who you really are. And when you see it from God's perspective, who He's made you to be, you're going to walk a whole different way. You're going to walk a whole different path. Or just go home and try to be a little better this week than last week, and I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I'm just hoping that when I get there in the sweet by and by that St. Peter waves me in. We'll just see how it goes. Guess how much of this world you're going to change? You won't even change your own habits and your own self. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. It's a gift from God. It's something we manifest. We want to control everybody else. We want to control the government, control the politicians. If only I could get this person to speak the way and say what I need them to say. But yet we're over 250 people. Every single one of you, you have self-control. You have self-governance in your new spiritual DNA. You have the ability to think the thoughts of Jesus Christ because you've been given His mind. It's not about someone else getting it wrong, and when they get it right, then you'll be okay. That's secondhand garbage. God loves you. He hung on the cross for you and for me. He didn't hang there for everybody else to get it right so then maybe I could find myself okay in their company. Listen, the church, even if it was perfect, as soon as any single one of us came in, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. We're never going to be perfect in the sense that we get everything right. But if our heart is towards Him, if His Spirit is alive in us, part of the problem, I'll close with this as we turn this over to Pastor Rich to lead us in a time of communion. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." See, Jesus knows this. That's why He sent a comforter to us, not just a sense of someone to make us feel comfortable. He sent us a comforter because the comforter is king. We worship comfort itself as the king, but the comforter, the person of God, He's king. And He knows what we need, and He knows how to bring us through it, and He knows how to take us on this narrow path that you can't find in your own strength. When we follow Jesus, He's the liberator of humanity. He set humans free from sin. And there's a contest underway for us to walk in that. There are literal gates that we will stand against as spiritual leaders, as people who are going to take ground for Him and for His kingdom. It's not just a drifting down merrily down the stream. It's an upstream. Too many of us want something that feels safe rather than true safety. True safety is being right where God wants you to be. If that's in the middle of a circle of a bunch of guys with spears, you can read missionary stories and hear how that turns out. If He wants you to be in the Middle East someplace, surrounded by terrorists and everything else, sharing the gospel, then that's where you're going to be the safest. The comforter keeps you where God needs you to be. That's the safest place on the planet. That's where fear can't touch you because you're in His purpose. Unfortunately, we settle for a sense of comfort. I feel a little better now after hearing that. Rather than embracing the Comforter who is the Holy Spirit so that He stays and abides with us and lives through us. Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, "I would rather have dangerous freedom than peaceful slavery." God thinks like that. He could have made us robots. He could have made it once we said the confession of faith. It was like a spell. You know, witchcraft has that. You say a certain thing and a spell comes on you. Now you function. Trances and hypnosis. That's all real stuff. That happens on the dark side. God could have made it like that. When you surrender to the Holy Spirit, you don't somehow go into this trance where you're just out of control now all of a sudden. You just one of those. Because I've met some of those and they say it's the Holy Spirit, and they try to pray for you to get the Holy Spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts love back in your heart. The Bible says Jesus, we're talking about the end times, when I come back, will I find love? Will I find faith on this earth? The love of many will grow cold. Why? Because they're trying to do it in their own human love, and you can't. This is a supernatural time for us to be alive, folks. The only way we're going forward is with His love in us, His Spirit in us. There's no plan B. We're it. And Him in us is the plan. But I want to say this just before I pass to Rich, because our failures end up being the thing that we worship. Our failures and our bad behavior is what we use to gauge whether or not what this word says is true. Whether the gospel that I've just preached to you this morning is actually true or not. You measure it with your behavior. Instead of getting on your knees and saying, "God, I repent." And if you have to do it every day, 5 times a day, 10 times a day, whatever it takes, you just focus on the repentance part. Because when you see who you really are in Christ, your behavior is going to change. You won't even know that it's changing sometimes. I couldn't even speak in front of a dinner table full of people because I was so afraid of people and what they might think about my prayer. Was it spiritual enough? Or one of my siblings might chuckle, or some person at the table might be like, listen to him. I was so fearful. I couldn't even take a deep breath, and I couldn't even get to the end of the prayer before my throat would constrict. So afraid of what people might think. The Holy Spirit sets you free from that. It doesn't matter what people think. We serve God. We serve the Lord. I'm just going to say this. It's not the easy road, but it's the right road. If you're looking for something easy, this isn't the place. You can find a lot of people that are going to preach an easy message. It's simple. It's about trusting Jesus. But we're going to face things. We're going to take hits, and we're going to keep going. And that's the nature of this walk that we're a part of. That's what Jesus did. That's what all the heroes of our faith did. And if you think that you're going to measure your success by your behavior, you're already setting yourself up for a failure. Because the devil knows as soon as you fail, so when he tempts you, you fail, and now you've just written the whole thing off. What about if your heart was so set on him? What about if Jesus the liberator, Jesus the one hanging there, became so much your focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, that you didn't have time to listen to the voices that are telling you nothing's really changed anyway? I can tell you what'll happen. This whole city is going to flip on its lid. Everybody in your family is going to flip on their lid because they're not going to understand what happened. What's so different about you? Do you really want to be the same for the rest of your life? That's what I'm going to close with, that thought. You really want to be the same for the rest of your life? I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I don't want to be the same for the rest of my life. Come on, really? You see how fast this thing is? People go to work for a party, next thing they're dead. Life is so, it's in our face. You have to embrace how quick this thing can wrap up. We don't know. Jesus said, forget about tomorrow. Today's got enough problems of its own. Live now. The Holy Spirit lets you live now. You don't have to wait for him to come back. You believe now. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. If you don't want to take responsibility, you're in the 99% probably. Everybody wants someone else to fix the problems. Guess what? It's going to happen through people who are self-governing. This nation was founded on the idea that self-governing people, under God's fear and God's authority and submission to the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, that we could be a nation that would change an entire planet. And we did for many, many years, centuries. But something's changed. God looks at every single individual, and he's looking for us to govern this territory right here. With what we let in, what we let out, this you've been given. Don't measure yourself by what you see yourself doing. Measure yourself by who the Word says that you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. A lot of stuff happening. When things happen that should have never happened, what happens next is still up to you. It's up to me. Our lives are going to be full of stuff that should have never happened. But when it does, what happens next, by the Holy Spirit's strength, is up to you.